friends. Oh my god, what is it?
Why is that so awkward?
I don't know.
Help.
Hi friends. Is that that's what it is? Hi friends.
Hi friends, okay. Yes.
Great, great, great.
The word I like to use is extra.
Do you know her sign?
Franzi, I would drink today.
I low-key think I'm kind of psychic.
It's like, am I psychic or am I an empath? Long-distance friendships, social media.
Are we going to like each other? Like, what's this going to be?
Hi, friends. You were listening to No Filter Friendship with Jen and Haley. I'm Jen Gregorio.
And I'm Haley McNutt. And together, we're two friends who talk too much. Welcome back, everybody. And today, we're not just two friends who talk too much because we have a special guest.
Yay! Three friends! Today, we have a very special guest in the virtual No Filter Friendship studio, which is just Zoom.
Woo-woo!
The free version.
Non-spawn.
Registered nutritionist / dietitian, who I actually found on TikTok. You can find her at Eat Happier Dietitian. Danielle Allen.
Woo! Hello.
She's been instrumental in my food journey since she and I started chatting in November, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So big part of like navigating re-entry into the social scene as we reemerge from the pandemic, wanting to maintain healthy habits, but also obviously everybody here knows I'm a very social person. So, mm-hmm. you know, having friends, being social, having healthy habits, all very hard to do. But Danielle has made it super easy for me to do. So we're very excited to have her talk about all things friends and food. Yay!
Yay!
Yay. Thank you
Welcome,
so much
Danielle.
For having me. Thank you.
Talk a bit about yourself. Tell us about
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what it's like being a nutritionist / dietitian. What's that
oh
like?
Oh my gosh. It's a roller coaster. I think especially like in social settings, it's wild, right? Because people are like, oh my God, here's everything that I eat throughout the day. And I'm like, okay,
oh
I'm just like trying to enjoy my life. And people will be like, here's a 24-hour diet recall of everything
Whoa.
I'm eating. Everything I've eaten. What do you think? It's
oh my God.
It's wild.
That sounds overwhelming.
Usually I'm like, yeah, like I work. I have a job. But like very like low key about what I do sometimes.
Oh my God. So how often do your friends talk to you about their food consumption?
Well, so some of my friends are dietitians, clearly, like you go to school for nutrition,
right.
like some of them.
Right,
so
right.
we talk about it in like a fun and exciting way. instead of
Love
like,
that.
Here's all my issues. Like I don't mind if it's like, you know, occasionally. When they're like, here's everything that I eat and like, here's all my problems, like that can be a little like, I'm not your dietitian, you know?
Right. Like, are you
You're
trying
like,
to just get some free, like some free advice? Like what's going on here? I feel like I have friends who work in healthcare and I'm always hyper, hyper aware of if I mention like any ailments to them or like injuries. Cause I'm like, I don't need you to diagnose me or like give me a treatment plan. I just, you know, wanted to mention that I'm not feeling well or something like that.
Well, I think the funniest thing that happens is that people will be super self-conscious about what they eat around me. And, like,
really?
I'm someone who just, like, eats food. I'm like, here we are, right? Like, just, like, enjoying life. And they'll be like, I had a salad for lunch today. And I'm like, you do not need to justify your food to me. Like,
okay, but I will say, I am not a nutritionist. And I feel like my friends do the same thing. Like, I feel like that's just a normal thing where people tend to, like, I don't know if it's justifying it for themselves or for other people, but in a social setting, people will often be like, I'm going to get the sandwich or the burger tonight because I had a salad for lunch and I did good all day. And it's like,
Or like, I went to the gym earlier, so I earned it. Like, you
1-800
did whatever
I
you're
ask?
Eating.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's
we
very odd. Yeah.
That's very true. That's very true. That's a definitely like common thing for, especially in female friendships. I feel like it's very normal for us all to like talk about what we're eating and like, justify it in some way.
And I feel like everyone's always talking about the latest diet that they're on. Like the,
Yeah.
Here's what I'm doing these days. Like, what about you? And like, sometimes it's just all people talk about.
Ew, I hate that.
See, I no avoid one those people. Yeah, I avoid those people. Like, red flag. Like, ooh, they're maybe, you know, not somebody I want to spend a lot of time with. Because, right, if that's what they're talking about and I talk about food all day long, like, that's going to get old real fast.
Right. Yes. Well, I feel like there's a certain... I mean, you want to talk about your diet to a certain extent, right? Like, especially if it's on your mind. I feel like people that are on any sort of health journey, you know, whether they're on a new diet or they're just trying to make better decisions, whatever, it's important to them. It's on their mind. But I find it infuriating when someone is just, like, nonstop talking about their new diet. Yes. And I never know how to stop them from doing that.
Right.
I usually just, like, don't respond. Like, very aggressively, just, like, do not respond. Because if you engage with them, like, it's just gonna go so aggressive.
Yeah.
And, like, being in the space for so long, I'm like, it's just not worth it, right? Like, when they're talking about the keto diet and how they've lost 20 pounds and, like, they feel so much better and, like, carbs are the worst, it's like... Okay, that's fine, right? But, like, I don't want to get into this debate where, like, you talk about the science and the evidence and, like, how your body loves carbs. And they're like, yeah, no. Right? It's, like, a really exhausting thing. So what I found to be effective is to just be like, uh-huh, and then just, like, move on, right? Of, like, not engage with the conversation.
change the subject as soon as possible.
Literally. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I love that dress. Where'd you get that, right? Or, like, whatever. Just, like, complete redirect. Deflect. Is the move.
Yeah. Right. So then how would you go about, so if somebody was starting a new diet or changing their mindset around food, like, how would you recommend somebody talk to their friends about it? Because I feel like it impacts your social, like, for example, Danielle and I we've obviously talked about this, like, at length, where my friends, you know, I go over, we hang out, we're drinking, we order takeout, we order Chinese food, whatever, right? And then for me to just abruptly be like, oh, I'm not drinking and I don't want Chinese food, like, that's tough.
Because it's like stopping, it's halting the social scene, the atmosphere.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, how do you recommend people that are making changes to the way that they're eating or the way that they're working out or whatever? Like, how do you communicate that to your friends in a way that doesn't, like, make anybody uncomfortable?
Yeah, so I think, like, the best or, like, one of the ways that I've found to be the least, like, intrusive or, like, judgmental way is to talk about how you feel, right? So it's like, oh, like, I'm not feeling like I want Chinese, or, like, I'm feeling a little tired or sleepy, or, you know, I'm feeling like I'm drinking a lot right now, and so maybe I want to cut back on that. And so really focusing on how you feel and why you want to do it, instead of, like, objectively drinking is bad, or objectively, like, Chinese food is bad, right? Because we want to have that nuance and that allow for you to be able to have those foods when you do want them.
Yeah.
But bring in that choice. Like, I can choose how I feel. And so today I may choose that, like, that's not the vibe that I'm going for, right? But maybe next week I do want Chinese food. And, like, both of those things are okay.
Right. Yeah. What I love about what you just said too, Danielle, is that it's personal in that case, whereas I feel like it is kind of a slippery slope when, like, somebody says, like, oh, I'm on this diet, like, carbs are bad for you, then it's like everybody else in the room is like, okay, cool, well, guess I'm an idiot because I had pasta for lunch.
Anybody eating, like, a sandwich is like, fuck right, me, like, right?
So what are you calling me, fat? Like, what is this?
No, totally. And then, like, it like spins this, like, web of, like, shame and guilt and, like, feeling isolated from, like, people who are on the keto, right, or whatever kind of diet. I just pick the keto because it's so aggressive.
It's so easy one to pick.
And so I think, like, really being like, this is a choice that I'm making, and I still support you in your decisions, because I think that's what's missing in a lot of diets, right? Is, like, they're very, like, socially driven, right? Like, families will do them, friends will do them together, and you need that, like, moral support in order to stick with this, like, miserable diet. And so we're changing it to be personal, and, like, these are things that I choose to make me feel good. I feel like that really shifts it to be a much more positive approach and not, like, alienating your friends, really.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. What about when your friends talk about their, like, negative body image? Like, I feel like that's another classic one, right? Where girls love to just, like, nitpick. I mean, it isn't even necessarily always about weight. Like, I feel like women just, I don't know why we do it, but we're just like, I feel bloated today, or I'm so fat, or look at my arms, or look at my whatever, or, like, even my nose is big, whatever. Like, how do you stop people from doing that, your friends from doing that?
I think it's so hard, right? Because I think we talk about it in a way that's unhelpful, and there are ways to talk about it that are helpful, right? So I think the way that I talk about it, right, because, like, I am a human, too. I am, you know, like, subject to these things, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, God.
Dietitians are humans, too.
Yes.
new hashtag is going to be trending. But, like, when I was running with one of my friends, and I was, like, I've been having a lot of, like, bad body days recently where, like, I just haven't felt super confident. I've felt really, like, icky and just, like, creepy crawly in my skin. And it's not, like, talking about it like that, it's not, like, my body is objectively bad, but this is how I'm feeling about my body. And so when your friends are, like, you know, I feel so fat, oh my God, I need to go on a diet, like, whatever kind of that conversation goes, it's like, oh, it sounds like you're feeling, you know, bad about your body. And so shifting it to feelings-oriented, right? It sounds like you're feeling this
way.
We
love feelings.
No, and we have so many of them.
We have a lot.
I'm here for it, right? That's what it's all about. But I think really kind of, like, honing in on hearing what they're saying and validating that feeling, because I think we all feel that way sometimes.
Right.
But the conversation doesn't have to be so yikes, like, let's hate ourselves. It can be, I feel this way, and that's okay, and I want to share this because I'm hurting. And then you can validate that, right? And talk about that and say, you know, tell me more about that. What, like, is causing that? When do you think that started? And really kind of pull out what's the core of that instead of, like, the surface level feeling. And I think that's a really good way to connect to people and trust people more. And, like, people feel a lot more heard in those situations when somebody asks questions about those feelings, has been my experience.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I have, like, you know, friends who have gained weight during the pandemic, and they're like,
who hasn't?
Yeah, I mean, so many people have, right? And it's so hard for, like, me as a friend to hear my friends talking so poorly about themselves, and it makes me feel like so sad. I'm just like, I don't want you to feel, because I think all my friends are beautiful, so, like, I don't want them to think that they're less than or uglier or whatever because they gained weight or their body looks different. But I always really struggle. I never know what to say. And I feel like the only thing that I can, that I've done in the past is, like, oh no, like, I don't know, like,
oh no.
Yeah, no, I think everyone's, like, first reaction is to be like, no, like, you're not, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
It's to say you're wrong.
I don't know that that's helpful, right?
Because I agree.
That's just, like, invalidating their feeling, which, I am a fan of therapy, so I'm, like, all about validating those feelings.
We love therapy here. Yes.
And so, like, yes, it's okay. Like, we don't want to tell people it's not okay to feel bad about their bodies. Like, I don't know if you guys have dived? I don't know what the word is there. Gone into...
I don't think we've dived into that yet, no.
Like, the body positive movement. But I feel like it can be really, like, isolating sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you don't always feel 100% great about your body. And I think that's okay. And that's normal. And so I think to be like, no, you're not fat, is not always helpful, because that's invalidating their feeling, right?
Yeah, dude, if I had a nickel for every time somebody was like, shut up, you're not fat, I would literally be so rich. Like, it would be insane. I, like, as we're sitting here talking about this, I'm thinking back to all the times when I would say to my friends, like, oh, I'm such a fat piece of shit. Because, I mean, and, like, to be fair, like, I am a plus size woman. I have been large and in charge my entire life. And I used to really hate that about myself. Mm-hmm. I now do really appreciate it. And obviously not all the time, but like most of the time I'm pretty chill with how I look. Mm-hmm. And that took years of like unlearning in my own brain to finally get to this point. And I remember when I was younger, some of my like best friends who I've had my whole entire life, I love them to death. They're perfect. They're wonderful. Obviously, they didn't know any better. But when we were much younger, like in high school and middle school, if I would complain about being fat, they literally would be like, I'm going to slap you across the face. Like, do not say that about yourself. That is not okay. You're not fat. Shut up. Stop talking. And so I literally stopped talking about how I felt mm-hmm. about my body because I was like, well, I don't want to get hit. Like, that sounds bad. Yeah. Like, whether or not they would actually do it, I don't know.
I can't see them actually doing that, but okay.
But, like, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm just not allowed to talk mm-hmm. about how I feel mm-hmm. when I'm not feeling good. And I think the flip side of that is then that I ended up then just like teaching myself inadvertently to just never talk about how I felt, even when I did feel good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of the things that has been really instrumental for me is the times when I like we're not talking about bodies at all. Like, it's not the topic of discussion. Mm-hmm. We're not here, you know, talking about a diet or whatever. And somebody just says like, oh my God, Haley, like, you always rock every outfit you wear. You always look so sick. You always have such a cute top, such great jeans. And, like, I've had people say that to me just, like, out of the blue before. Ah. And I'm like, what? Like, me?
Do you want to be my stylist? Same,
like, are we talking about the same person? Like, I'm confused. Wow. I'm just over here, you know, shoving these legs into whatever fits. Like, I didn't know that you thought that looked nice. Like, that's really sweet. And, like, little things like that have made such a difference to me because now when I put on, like, my high-waisted jeans, I can be like, oh, my God, Caroline told me I looked really hot in these one time. And now I'm like, I kind of see it a little bit. Like, I think I might be, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. It makes such a difference.
The key thing there, right, like you said, is, like, it's not about your body or your shape and whether that's, like, right or wrong. It's, like, objectively you just have a good, like, sense of fashion, right? Like, you just look confident.
I don't know about that.
No, I think that that's correct. That's correct. You do. Can confirm.
I can figure things out, I guess. I feel like, well, I will say the whole body positivity movement, the thing that that has done for me more than anything mm-hmm. is taught me how I can look good in things that, mm-hmm. because, you know, obviously fashion is made for a figure that is not mine. Right. And for years and years, it was like, okay, put on this outfit that's made for a girl who's, like, a size 2, and you're gonna look really weird in it, but, like, that's what's trendy. Like, yeah. You have to wear that. Mm-hmm. And now I know that that's not what I need to wear, that there are a lot of other things that can also look good, but it's just mm-hmm. a different style, because that's mm-hmm. what looks better on me. So I do appreciate that so much. Like, I feel like that's what I've learned more than anything over the past few years.
Yeah. And I think, like, I am, like, all for the body positivity movement, but I think what we, like, in all of nutrition, we don't allow a lot of nuance to things, right? Like, food and body image is so nuanced and so complicated. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we love to have, like, these, you know, plus size fashion accounts and, like fat liberation. Like, I think it's all great, right? But I think we still have to allow ourselves to sometimes feel bad, right? And not mm-hmm. feel upset about that, right? Like, it's okay to just, like, feel those feels.
Yeah. I feel like I have seen a lot of, because I'm definitely on, like, the body positivity TikTok side of things. And I've, yeah, no, for sure, like, fully I'm on that. And I love it. And I've definitely seen some TikToks where people are like, you don't have to feel great in your body all the time. Like, it's mm-hmm. not going to happen. You're not going to feel great in your body all the time. Like, you just have to mm-hmm. accept it. And that's, I think, what body positivity movement is about, is, like, not mm-hmm. loving your body necessarily mm-hmm. all the time, but just accepting it and being okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which we love, right? Like, it's okay to just exist. Yeah. I say that all the time. Like, it's literally okay to just exist.
It's actually, it's fine. In fact, we're all doing it. So
can you believe it?
What a concept.
I know, it's crazy. It's wild. Yeah. But some people so feel so, like, apologetic and, like, you know, I have a lot of clients who are like, I don't even want to go to the grocery store and, like, buy the foods that I enjoy, or, like, I don't want to, like, wear certain outfits, or, like, they're just limiting themselves so much because they're afraid of, like, existing in space, right, of taking up space, because, you know, some of them live in larger bodies, and so I think, like, sometimes we need the reminder, like, you don't have to apologize to anyone for existing or for taking up space.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And that also true.
It's true, yeah.
I love I also think, like, talking about how we feel in our bodies with our friends is very important, because I can't remember if it was you, Danielle, or my therapist. You're like very, you're both very helpful.
You both make me healthier in my brain.
I don't remember which one you said it, but someone was like,
I think I told you to talk to one of your friends.
You did. It was you. Yep. Yeah. You were like,
You
were like, maybe if you just talked more about, like, how you're feeling in your body and eating and everything, like, it won't be such a secret. And then it won't feel like such, like, a vulnerability. So now I'm, like, so much more open about it. Like, I think a few months ago, I probably would not tell any of my friends. None of my friends knew that I even had a dietitian, because I was, like, scared to, like, share that and, like, share this vulnerability that I just kept so secret for so long. I didn't want anybody to know that this was something that I was, like, not ashamed of, but, like, something that I was working on. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now that I'm so much more open about it, I just feel like a weight has been a weight has been lifted. No pun intended.
You're so punny.
I know. Where I'm, like, not afraid to be like, yeah, like, I'm eating a salad because I feel like it. My body wants vegetables, and I don't have to apologize for that.
A body wanting vegetables?
Imagine.
Jen, do you want to tell the Disney story? This is my favorite story.
Oh my God. So I went to Disney World in February, as you know, Haley. And
yes,
there's not that many vegetables in Disney World. Like,
oh God,
that's
so true.
It's a lot of sugar. It's a lot of sugar. And yeah. I was so, just the whole time we were there, it was with Darren, and I was like, Darren, I need a vegetable. And she was like, I just don't know if we're going to find one. I'm so sorry.
I just don't know.
I just don't know.
Brussels sprouts? What's happening?
I think you had a wrap with, like, a lettuce and a tomato on it, and you were like, I found a vegetable! Yeah. And you're, like, so excited.
And we met at the week after, and I was like, I did so bad. And you were like, you did great. What do you mean? Like, you had a great time in Disney World. You ate, like, the good snacks in Disney World that are delicious. Like, you go to Disney World for the good snacks. Like, you did a good job. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was like, really? I did?
And, like, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's all about, like, enjoying life, right? And, like, not being miserable with the food you're eating, because nobody wants to be hangry. Like, no one wants to be around you when you're hangry.
Yep.
And, like, on a diet on vacation. Like, no thank you.
Yeah,
dude.
But even when I was in Disney World with Darren, Darren is my best friend of 18 years, I actually don't know if this day that we're recording this, I don't even know if she knows that I have a dietitian or a nutritionist, whatever.
Really?
Like, I don't think she knows. We haven't really discussed it. I don't know.
Wow.
Even in Disney World, I didn't tell her.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's just
keep,
like,
close to the chest.
And you know what? It's, like, the only card that I hold close to my chest. You know what I mean? Because most of my cards are pretty far away.
That's fair. You're bleeding all the time. Yeah. That's so funny that you said that, Jen, because, listen, I don't love a vegetable. I mean, they're yummy. They are yummy. I like to eat them. But, like, I often forget they exist, you know?
Sure.
So I will say it's pretty few and far between that I'm like, damn, I really want to, like, shove some broccoli in my mouth or anything like that. But when I studied abroad in Italy, I mean, I'm Italian. Like, Italian food is my go-to always. But there are, like, no salads in Italy. Salads are really just, like,
could place
it's literally like arugula with olive oil and salt. That's a salad in Italy, literally.
Or and a tomato with a whole block of cheese on top of it.
Exactly. They don't do, like, you know, corn. Like, corn's not a thing mm-hmm. in Italy. So my two friends and I, who we were all studying abroad together, got, like, so obsessed with trying to find a salad, like a big salad. We ended up finding one restaurant in the town that we lived in that actually had them. They literally cost 14 euros. Like, they were fully stealing our money, but they were these huge bowls, and we went there like four times in the last half of our study abroad semester because we were just like, we need these vegetables. Yeah. Like, I'm going to pass away if I don't eat these. It was so That's incredible. Wild. I think about that all the time. Sometimes I wish I could have that salad again, honestly, because it was so good.
Well, was it yeah. a good salad, or was it just that you hadn't had salad in 4 months and you really enjoyed it?
Who can say? Why can't True. It be both?
That's Porcanillo's dose.
That was probably the most instrumental salad that I ever ate in my life.
What I think is, like, when you either are eating a lot of vegetables and then go without them, or, like, regularly have vegetables and then are in Italy where apparently vegetables don't exist, like, you crave them. Your body knows what it wants, and sometimes you just crave those things, right? And, like, feel better when you eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it just really showed me how, like, variety is so important in what I eat, which really I should have known. I'm an air sign. That should have been obvious.
What about when a friend is losing weight? How do you recommend supporting them when they are losing weight in a way that's supportive, but also not overbearing and not annoying?
So this might be a hot take. And Jen, I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but
I'm probably not. I know what you're going to say.
Uh-oh.
What do you think I'm going to say?
I think you're going to say that people shouldn't comment on other people's bodies.
I mean, she's right.
You're totally right. Yes. That's so funny. So yeah, I don't think, you know, if a friend is losing weight, like, unless they're, like, literally, like, looking malnourished, like, you can see kind of, like, their ribs and, like, really sickly looking, and you're like, hey, like, this doesn't seem safe. I think you need support. And I think there's a way and a space to do that. But I think if, like, in normal, like, dieting and weight loss, I think, you know, checking in with them, like, oh, like, how have you been feeling? Like, you know, how's your energy been? I think commenting on their weight, commenting on how their body looks can be problematic because, right? So I work with a lot of people who do lose weight, right? Like, that's part of the process through, like, eating more balanced foods. And what that does is that can reinforce the idea that they were not good enough as they were before. And so, like, they are now better in some way, shape, or form because they've lost weight. And so that is not the intention, but that is how a lot of people can perceive that. And so I don't think that's how we mean to treat our friends or to have our friends feel. And so I think allowing them, like, if they bring it up, to talk about it, right? Like, and go to those, like, feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like, how do you feel about that? What's that been like for you? You know, tell me more about that, right? Like, those, like, classic, like, therapy, like, open-ended questions. And just kind
how does that make you feel?
Literally, yeah.
I always think about that scene in Freaky Friday when Lindsay Lohan becomes Jamie Lee Curtis, and Jamie Lee Curtis is like, I don't know how to be a therapist. And her friend's just like, yeah, just ask, how does that make you feel? And then she just does that over and over again with the patients who's like, they're like, they need more than how does that make you feel? But that's all she can give them.
Classic.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could ask some other questions besides how does that make you feel? But really just, like, allowing them the space to talk about it, to maybe share how they're feeling. I mean, I think there's always, like, nuance again to these things of, like, maybe that friend needs support or, like, isn't really sure, you know, if it's the right decision. It's, like, giving some feedback of, like, what your experience is in life and, like, you know, whether that's through, like, your weight stabilization, your weight gain, like, whatever your life looks like, just kind of, like, sharing your experience, but not necessarily, like, making it a bad or a good thing. Just being like, if that's what makes you happy, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a follow-up question to that, because I feel like something that people talk about a lot, or like maybe they did like a few years ago, I don't know if this mm-hmm. isn't a thing anymore, but people would often say, like, if you're going to comment on someone's appearance in some way, make it about a facet that's not like, oh, you look pretty, like make it like, wow, you look so strong, like you seem to be getting really like fit or confident, and like I love to see that. Do you feel like that is still kind of like tricky territory, or is that okay?
I feel like it's tricky territory.
Yeah.
Again, it depends on like how well you know the person. Like, okay, so side note, side story. So
yeah,
pre-quarantine, I was like getting really strong at the gym, like going consistently. Mm-hmm. And then like obviously COVID was like, haha, what gym?
Sorry, no. That literally happened to me too, and I was like, cool, 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 cool.
Yeah, right. So I was like really strong, and someone like close to me was like, oh my God, like you're so toned. Like, I've never seen you this toned before. Like, you look so lean. But like the implication was that I was not lean or strong before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, like I don't love that. Right. Like, that doesn't feel great to hear.
Right.
And so obviously everyone's different. Like, I'm a very touchy feely person. So like, I'm impacted by those statements more than like the average human maybe. And like also have body image issues from like the past. So like you never really know what someone's going through. And so those comments may not be intentioned that way, but sometimes that's how they're hurt.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true.
I have mixed feelings, and I'll tell you why. Okay, because I think that everything you said is correct. Like, I think that everything you said about it means something different than what that person meant. Like, it means that, first of all, they're noticing your body, right? Something that people look at, which if they're noticing that you have lost weight, that means that they've noticed that you were bigger before, right? So obviously,
yeah, that's true.
That is correct. But at the same time, I almost feel weird when my friends don't notice, if that makes sense.
Notice like, your body changing in some
yes.
way?
Yes. Notice, yeah. Because, like, I don't know. I mean, I see my friends often enough, right? And they see what my body looks like. They see it every time I'm with them. And they see the different clothes I'm putting on my body that now fit it. And it's different, and it looks different. Mm-hmm. And when they don't say anything, I'm like, are you even paying attention? Like, do you even know what I'm doing? You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe that's just a me thing where I'm like, because I love attention. So it could just be like, I want attention on this thing that I'm working really hard for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm eating healthy. I'm going to the gym all the time. Like, I want my friends to notice the work that I'm putting in to change the way that I look so that I feel better. Which I guess the most important part of that sentence is that I feel good.
Right.
And I want them to notice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a few tricky pieces, right? Like, I totally, I think it makes sense, right, that you almost expect that. I think we all almost expect that because that's...
Especially because strangers say it to me.
No way.
Not strangers, but like, I ran into my old chief people officer, who's like the head of HR, at Fire and Ice last week, LOL. And that was the first thing she said to me was like, you look amazing.
Well, okay.
And my first reaction was, oh my God, thank you so much. But then, like, you know, thinking back on it, I'm like, she literally said, you look amazing. I've been following, like, you on Instagram. Like, I've been seeing your posts.
So what I'm going to say about that, right? So, like, I also follow you on Instagram. I think a big thing that happens that's really interesting, like, those comments, like, you look amazing, blah, 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 you look great, like, you're glowing, whatever. I think those are because our confidence level often changes when our size changes. And so, like, you're not to be weird, but, like, you're posting pictures on Instagram where you're, like, feeling good, right? And you can see that in your face. Like, you're feeling good, you're wearing outfits, whatever, right?
Right.
And so I think sometimes, like, that's a piece of it, right? So when you do not feel comfortable in a larger body, you may not act as confident. You may not appear as confident. And so I think one thing that I've noticed a lot is, like, confidence is often something that we underestimate in like our impact on like how we feel and how we look.
Dude, yes, retweet, because people literally all the time are like, you're so confident, Haley, and I'm like, what? But they like see me people as confident. People say that about me
too, and it's confusing to me as well.
I'm literally so confused. Every time somebody says that I'm confident, I'm like, in what world? Like, I don't understand. Me? This chick who second guesses everything that she says and does? Yeah, I'm confident. Like, what is the scale we're using? But people tell me that all the time, and I think it's because I look confident because mm-hmm. I'm not, like, ashamed of what I look mm-hmm. like, and I'm
right.
down to go out in a crop top and mm-hmm. show off my midriff, despite the fact that, like, I'm a size 16, 18. Like,
right.
That's, like, unheard of.
Yeah, I think, like, how... I don't know. Like, so I follow, like, a lot of people on social media who are, like, rocking their outfits, right? And I've noticed the common thing is that they're confident in it, not how small or big they are, right? Yeah. Where I'm like, I want to look like that person because she looks confident. Yeah. Not that we love that comparison, right? But, like, I want that outfit because she looks like she's rocking it. Not because she's, like, a size 2, right?
Yeah. It's the that she feels good in her skin. Right. That's the part that I want. I want to feel good in my skin. Maybe I will do it in the same bandana tube top. Maybe I will not. But as long as I feel good in my skin, that's the important part. I'm going to look that good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think, you know, going back to, like, Jen's thing, I think... it's an expectation that when you lose weight, people will comment on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't love, but I think that's like a cultural norm that we have.
Right.
Yeah.
And it may be uncomfortable for that to change, but I don't think it's a bad thing for it to be uncomfortable to change.
Right.
I also have a note about what you were saying, Jen, which is that you have said on this podcast before, and we all know that you're also a very observant person. So if you are talking to your friends and they do something even minute, like get a small trim or something on their hair, you're going to notice that. Mm-hmm. And so you want people to notice the same small changes, like even if they're incremental about you, which it may be unrealistic because not everybody is as observant or able to pay that close attention.
True. That is true. Yeah.
So that could also be
part of the problem. Yeah, it's so weird. I don't know. I think it's a me problem. I think I just need to get over it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. Like, if I look hot, I would love for someone to say, like, hey, you look really hot. But at the same time, I also am, like, petrified when people try to comment on my body because I'm like, don't look at me. You can't see this. So it's hard. It's a hard, like, line to walk. And I think, like you were saying, Danielle, your proximity to the person that you're talking about and commenting on is really crucial. I think that for me, like, the closest people to me in my life, if they talk about how I look, I know that they're doing it from a place of love and that they're never coming at me to be, like, to shame me in any way, shape, or form. And the issue is that when somebody who maybe doesn't know me as well says something, I do not know that those intentions. And so that's why, in general, if you don't feel like, if you would feel uncomfortable receiving a comment from someone, then you should not tell them a comment about how they look. I feel like that should just be a rule of thumb.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
And then, like, in a similar way, Jen, like, if you feel like with your chief people's officer, if you were like, oh, yeah, you know, you look really hot, too. Like, this outfit is banging. If you feel like you could have said that, then maybe it's fine for her to say something about how you look. But if you're like, that's uncomfortable, then I would say probably wasn't a good idea.
I don't know. I don't think that... I think I could have said that to her.
Okay.
That's the thing. Odd. Rapid Seven's an odd place.
Yeah, maybe this is a Rapid Seven problem.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. I guess I think you're right. I think it does depend on your friendship, because I will say, like, I wouldn't talk about it. I haven't talked about losing weight or going, like, I haven't really discussed it a ton with my friends. And I think part of that has to do with, like, I know that it's fucking annoying if I were to do that all the time. Like, I don't, I never want to be that person that's like talking about one thing obsessively, no matter what it right? is.
Like boring I don't wanna, everyone at the table.
Yeah, like, I don't want to be the one who's talking about what I'm eating or what I'm doing at the gym, unless someone asked me. Like, my friend Vic the other day was like, what are you doing at the gym? Like, I want to know what you're doing. And I was like, okay, yeah. here's what I did today. And I like told her, and she was like, wow, okay. But like, I would never have been like, let me just offer up how many pounds I'm lifting now, because that's fucking annoying.
Well, then you start to sound like one of those, like, gym bros who's like, yeah, oh, I benched, like, 200 pounds today. Like, dude, Jen, you're not a gym bro. Like,
dude, sometimes I do feel like a gym bro, though. That's the thing. That's the thing.
If you're at the gym when you feel like one, I think that's fine.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think, like, really reading the room, I think, is kind of the yeah. major takeaway of, like,
right.
read the room. Like, who are you around? Do you know that someone, like, has struggles with body image? Like, that is not a person to talk to about their weight, right?
That is Retweet. Very true. That is also very tough, because I do feel like there is a bit of a jealousy aspect when you see a friend losing mm-hmm. weight or changing their appearance.
Oh, yeah.
If you have struggled with body image issues, you're looking at them like, shit, why are they successful? Why aren't I succeeding? And then it's like hard to be happy for your friend in a way, because you're so jealous about it. Which, I mean, we've talked about jealousy before, Haley. Like,
yeah.
you've got to kind of get over it. But like, how do you deal with like, how do you deal with that if, like, you're watching your friend lose weight in front of your eyes and you're just like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, like, a lot of reflection, right? Of, like,
yeah.
why? God, I sound like yeah. such, like, a feelings person. I'm such a feelings person. I'm sorry. You gotta look at, like, why am I feeling right. like I'm less than, right? Is it something, you know, that I want? Is this something that, you know, is important to me to work on? Like, what resources, what support do I have, right? And just being, like, separating yourself and your life from theirs, because your life is not their life. And why, like, they're in a different place in their life. They've got different things going on that maybe you have stuff, right, that you need to deal with that's yeah. more important than nutrition and food. Like, there's a lot of more important things than losing weight, right? And we don't always have to be, like, in that active pursuit, right? And so, like, separating your story from theirs and just being like, this is where I am now. If I want to make changes, I can, right? Like, if I want to work on this, this is something I can do, but maybe it's best to wait until I'm in a space that I can do this and I have, you know, less going on.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Because I do feel like inevitably every time I've ever seen someone like on social media go through some massive transformation, like they always do seem to have, there are like other things in their life that are, you know, that they're just not dealing with that I have mm-hmm. going on. Mm-hmm. Like my job could be super, super stressful and they're mm-hmm. unemployed. I'll never forget when I was in, I think it was right after I graduated college, I had a friend who lost like 40 pounds or something insane. And I was like, bitch, what the fuck? How did they do that? How come I can't do that? And then I realized they were unemployed for like 6 months. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. That's how they did that. Like, yeah, they were at the gym every day.
The highlight reel from Instagram or like the transformation pictures, they really only show like the tiniest morsel of what's actually happening in someone's life. And like being someone who posts on social media, right? Like I have a TikTok following. I know that there is so much more that goes into every post and so mm-hmm. much like as authentic and honest as they try to be on social media, like it's only mm-hmm. the highlight reel. It's only a very curated yeah. feed. And so right. when you see those transformation posts, when you see that weight loss, like whatever, you know, you're only seeing what they want the world to see. Mm-hmm. And like the same with fitness influencers, like that's literally their full-time job to like work out and make like these acai bowls, right? So like you don't have the time to do that full time. So like
right.
yeah. we're gonna just make like a bag salad and that's okay.
Yeah, or right. even yeah, like cooking every meal. Like I don't have time. I mean, I do right now. I am unemployed right now. So I guess joke's on me because I'm not losing that many weight, but But, like, you know, back in the day, like, I didn't have time to cook all the time. I couldn't, like, make something super healthy. Like, sometimes I had to order DoorDash. Sue me. And I do feel like I got really down on myself for, like, not being able to have it all or whatever, which obviously is a fallacy because I did have everything. Like, I was healthy. I was happy. That's what's important. That matters more.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's tough. I would love to know. I know you talked earlier about how, like, if you have people in your life sit down and, like, try to have conversations with you about what they're doing and, like, their diet and stuff, you just, like, shut it down and move on. But I personally have a situation where I have a friend who literally will not shut up about her body and how she is, like, upset with it. And it blows my mind because this girl literally had a baby, which already your body is kicking butt. Like,
dude, women are amazing. I can't believe it.
Women are incredible. Like, oh my God. Literally
pushing an alien out of you. No, thank you.
You pushed a parasite that lived in you for 10 months out of your vagina. That's insane. Okay.
It's insane.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Motherhood's amazing. I'm just saying, logistically, that's what happened. And also, you survived to tell the tale. And also, now you're raising a human that is, like, extraordinarily dependent on you to survive. Like, there's a lot going on there.
Yes.
And even despite all that, despite how amazing and strong she is and how impressed I am with the fact that she's literally a mother, she constantly berates herself for not being, like, thin or, like, pre-pregnancy weight. Like, she's not, she, you know, people talk about, like, getting your body back, which is the worst. She constantly talks about that. And then on top of that, she, like, she posts her updates about it on social media. And I think she does it mostly for, like, you know, accountability reasons. Like, she wants to hold herself accountable. But then people comment on it on social media and are saying things like, you know, you look so beautiful. Like, wow, I can't believe how well you're doing. Because she has actually lost a ton of weight since having her baby. Mm-hmm. And she is now, I think, back to where she was before she was pregnant, which is also, like, remarkable to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any going back for me when I have a baby eventually. That's it. That's my body now. Like, you can't make me go back.
Welcome to the world, my new body.
Yeah, like, gave birth to this human and also the new Haley. But I just feel like now that she keeps saying, like, she hit a plateau because she can't lose any more weight. And I just want to, like, shake her and scream, like, this is just what your body is. Like, this is just who you are. Your body is beautiful. This is who you are. This is what you're going to look like. And also, I think she keeps forgetting that, like, muscle weighs more than fat. And so, like, as she's getting stronger, the scale might not go down. Like, these are all just things that are really important to know that she just seems to, like, completely forget. And I just don't know, like, personally, like, how do I keep it together? Because I really don't know.
Yeah. So, again, I totally, like, in some of these situations, it's like, you're like, that's not what you want your friendship to be, right? And if, like, that's not something you want to talk about all the time, I think it's important to talk about that, right? Like, if you don't want to constantly be talking about our weight loss and how our body looks and all that stuff, like, I think it's okay to say that, right? Like, it sounds like you're really struggling with this. It sounds like this is really hard for you, but I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, I think that's an okay boundary to set, because I think that's an important boundary to set, right? It's also not great for, like, the other person in that conversation, right? For you in this conversation. Correct. Like, it's not a fun place to be. It may not be what you want to hear and talk about, right? And I think it's okay to, like, set that boundary. I also think it's okay to be like, hey, it sounds like this is really upsetting you. Like, do you need to talk to a therapist? Or, like, do you want to work with a dietitian? Because it sounds like you're really struggling with this. And I am not either of those things. Well, I am, but, like, you
are not.
Yes, you, Haley, are not either of those things. And so, like, why don't you, like, explore that? Like, do you want me to help you find a dietitian, find a therapist? Because it sounds like this is something you need more support than I can give you in. That's how I would approach it. Also, like, sometimes it's okay to just be like, this is not what I want in a friendship. And like, there will be times where you may have to like take space from people in your life if they are not talking about things that are healthy or helpful for you. So like, for a lot of people, a lot of my clients who have friends and people in their life who talk about dieting and losing weight a lot, sometimes I'm like, is that person really a great human for you to be spending a lot of time with right now? Like, I don't know if you guys talk about, like, I saw TikTok about, like, the tiers of friendship, right? So, like, there's, like, your close people. There's, like, your, like, medium close people. And there's, like, your outer circle people. I don't know if you subscribe to that, but, like...
I mean, I really think that it's more a spectrum. I have a lot of thoughts. It's too overwhelming for me to put into words at the moment.
But we know what you mean. Yes.
So, like, demote her, right?
From someone. Love demoting people.
I mean, do we love it, or is it just an unfortunate part of life?
But you gotta do it. You gotta do it. Yes. Okay,
you do have to do it sometimes, yes. It's like a self-preservation demotion.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
If it's like this, if it's taxing on you, if it's like you leave that interaction feeling drained and feeling worse than you start, like I feel like that's at the point where you're like, this just like isn't the vibe right now. And I think, you know, it might be helpful to take a little bit of space until maybe she figures her stuff out.
I agree. I think that's really like hitting the nail on the head there, which is like, obviously, as a friend, I want to listen to her. I want to make her feel heard. I want to make her feel better. Yeah. Like, I also want to help her stay motivated when she's feeling like, do I want to go to the gym? Like, you might feel better afterwards. If you think you'll feel better, then you should go or what have you. And I know that's what she also seeks from me at times. But it is hard, especially, like I said, as a plus size woman, it's hard to see somebody who I know damn well is like a size 6 now complaining constantly about how she can't lose weight. And it's like, can I help you? Like,
well, it's also like, it's also hard when you hear your friends that are smaller than you talk about how they feel fat. You're like, well, if you're, they're like, I'm if so you're huge. Fat. Like, if you think that you're huge, like, what do you think about me? Right? Like, it's not even like,
exactly.
It's like, if you feel so big and you feel gross about yourself, like, do you think I'm also gross? Like, it's not a good conversation to have.
Well, I think that's where it turns, like, toxic is when it's like, if it's making you feel bad, then now it is like a toxic conversation or situation to be in, and you need to remove yourself. And you're right. That is exactly what I should do, is set that boundary of just being like, I don't really want to talk about this. Like, this doesn't, it kind of makes me feel icky when we talk about how you feel like you look really ugly now, because I think you're beautiful and I'd really love if we could just like not talk about it anymore.
And I think you can try, like, all of those things, right? Like, try setting that boundary. If that doesn't work and it, like, really aggressively continues, be like, hey, it seems like you need extra support here. And then, right, like, if you have the capacity and the energy to do that, right? And then you can go down to, like, ooh, I don't know that this is a healthy friendship for me.
Yeah. It's rough.
It sucks, right? Like, it sucks that so much of our conversation focuses on, like, dieting and weight loss and how we appear.
It's exhausting, honestly.
It is. It's exhausting being a woman, honestly.
Yeah, dude.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah,
literally,
dude.
Every day you're just presented with a barrage of images of how you should look and act and be.
Yep.
And you just
and
have
none
to
of them are okay.
No, and they're all unattainable. Mm-hmm. And you have to spend all damn day saying no. And then at the end of it, repeat your mantra to yourself of you being worthy and beautiful and lovable and perfect. And then do the whole damn thing again the next day. It's so stupid.
Yep.
So I'm a huge fan of the like social media cleanse. I don't know, Jen, if I had you do this at any point. But essentially, right, like if you're scrolling through, you know, TikTok or Instagram or whatever, and all you're seeing is like Fitspo, right? Like these really like fit humans who are just like bikinis and like ripped abs, right? Like that's objectively not what women look like, right? Like most women in America do not look like that. And so cleaning
like
those images
do, that's it.
Yeah.
Literally. So cleaning up your social media feed, unfollowing, on TikTok, you can like hold down and hit like not interested. You can block people if they're like that aggressively in your feed. And really like make an effort because we have a lot of research to show, not to make this like too researchy, that women who, it's just my nature, I'm sorry.
Women love research.
Who scroll through like social media have like the more time you spend on social media, like the worse your body image and like self-esteem is. Yeah. And so if you can like change that to look a little bit more like you, hopefully that effect like isn't so prominent, right?
Yeah, I've definitely made a concerted effort to do that. I don't think I follow a single skinny person at this point. Like, honestly, unless I know them personally, like, I really don't. Mm-hmm. I just completely, like, got rid of all of them. And I do think it has, in a way, like, rewarped my brain back to where it should be, which mm-hmm. is, like, just knowing that everyone is beautiful. So that's nice.
And yeah, also, like, yeah. If you don't want to unfollow your friend, you could just mute her.
True.
I've done that before. She doesn't know that you've unfollowed yeah. her. When she stops posting about her weight loss journey, you can unmute yeah. her. But for now, you gotta mute her.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your favorite topic, Danielle, which is drinking.
Oh, we were going to say fiber. Ooh. I love fiber, but I also like talking about drinking.
I mean, I also love fiber, but how do you deal with drinking and drinking culture mm-hmm. and oh your friends that want you one. To drink? It's a big one because, and Danielle and I have talked about it question. So much because I feel like in the social world, drinking mm-hmm. is just part of it. It's just a natural part of it. And for what? Why? I don't know why.
And for what?
But it is so hard to, when you're trying to be healthier and you're not drinking as much, it is so difficult to make your friends understand why you don't want to drink without being like, I don't want to you waste calories on drinking or like some stupid, you know, bring yeah. up the right. whole health thing, right?
Right.
So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I have a lot.
I know, you're yes. it's like, give us your yes. whole give us lecture now.
All of it. The spiel.
Okay, so I think, right, like, at the core of it, what I recommend is, like, having it be your choice when you drink. And so what that means, right, is that there are going to be some days where you want to have a drink, right? Like, it's been stressful. You want to socialize with your friends. Like, we love that. We're here for that. It's not about, like, never drinking again. Mm-hmm. But it's about right. choosing when you want to drink and choosing when you don't want to drink. And also, you know, choosing between 3 drinks or 4 drinks and, like, 12, right? Like, there is a very right. big difference mm-hmm. between those mm-hmm. two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you usually feel very differently at the end or the next morning after bad. Having the differences between those, right? Yep.
You usually feel bad.
Yes.
I've yeah, never yeah. had 12 drinks and felt good, let's just say.
Yes. That. Ever.
Ever in my life.
Nope.
And so we think, right, what it comes down to is choosing, okay, is this a night where, like, maybe I want to indulge and, like, maybe it's the time where I want to have that? Or is, like, everybody pressuring me to have drinks right yeah. now? And so I'm only drinking, I do, like, you know, sometimes you're not even, like, vibing with it, right? Like, you're like, ugh, this is, like, whatever. Like, I'll drink because they want me to. That is when we choose not to drink, very clearly.
Yeah.
I will say, and Haley, I feel like you'll understand this because we are both people pleasers.
Oh,
and so yeah. I got to a point where I literally could not tell if I was drinking because I wanted to or because I felt social pressure to drink. Like, I That's literally...
Spooky. Who's in charge?
Very spooky. Who's in charge? I don't know. I don't know if it's me. It's probably not me. Like, truly, I would, like, go out. I think that this happened this weekend to me. Like,
oh, no.
I think we talked about this in our last session, didn't we, Jen? Where you were like, yes. I don't know if I want a drink or not.
Yes. Like, I literally cannot tell. Yeah. Like, on Saturday, I was in New Hampshire with my family, and my dad was like, who wants a Bloody Mary? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're like, I'm not sure, but my hand is raised, so I guess, like...
I don't know. I might want one, but, like, maybe I just want one because I feel pressured to have one. And that's not on him for, like... He didn't even pressure me. He just said, who wants a Bloody Mary? And I was like, ah! overcome
all
with
he
fear.
Has to do is ask a question and panic ensues.
It's really just the indecisiveness of being Gemini.
I was gonna say that I think it's just an air sign problem. I'm not sure that everybody has this issue, but like, as one of the most indecisive signs in the zodiac, yeah, I definitely don't know if I like things at times.
Yeah.
If I want to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, can we use you as an example? Because I
yeah,
feel
we
like
can.
You. Okay,
I'm
cool.
Here. I'm literally like, we can.
So I think like the first thing we started off with was like drinking around your family, right? You were like, we go out to dinner. I had like a glass of wine or two, but like, I just do, right? Like, there was no like intention behind it. Like, it wasn't getting you like buzzed or anything. It was just like a glass of wine, right? Mm-hmm. And so we experimented with like not having that.
Yep.
And I remember you being like, I'm just the person who drinks, right? Like, I just always have a drink. And so it was weird at first, right?
Yes.
And like, sorry to tell your story for you.
you know it better than I do at this point, to be honest.
You're a great storyteller.
And you're like, I don't know, you know, how to behave, or like, people are going to think it's weird if I don't have a drink. And
exactly.
I think it was weird for a few times, right?
It was.
And then everyone was like, okay, whatever. Like, Jen may want a drink or not. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so, like, evolving those norms and those expectations of people can be really helpful. And just doing it a few times to get the weirdness out of the way, like, the change is the uncomfortable part. Eventually, they're going to get used to it, right?
Yep, right.
It was,
and then who cares?
It was almost like a rebranding, you know? Like,
get out. Leave.
No, but, like, I genuinely think, like, I don't know, a few months ago, I was the person that, like, would be down to do, you know, like, to drink. Like, if anybody wanted to go drink, I'm down, you know? But I'm just not down necessarily anymore all the time. And I think it took a really long time for my friends and family to understand that and to, like, wrap their brains around that I'm no longer the down person. Maybe I'm down, maybe I'm not, and there's nothing wrong with that person. You know what
also,
I mean?
Well, and I also feel like there's a difference between, like, being down to have a good time and hang versus being down to be drunk with you.
Oh, I mean,
like,
I'm still always down to have a good time.
Exactly. Like, you are always down for a good
correct.
Hang. You're always
you're right.
down for a nice social outing. But maybe that social outing
social opportunity, in case anybody was confused.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're
But that doesn't necessarily mean that alcohol needs to be involved every time that you're, like, hanging and doing stuff. Yeah. I think that's nice that you worked on that. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
And that was part of our conversation, too. It's like, Jen, I don't think you're shy if you don't drink. Like, you are not, from my knowledge, you were not drunk during our conversations. You were very outgoing.
L-O-L. Unless you were wasted every time we talked, I'm pretty sure you were fine without. Dude, that's a really good point, though, Danielle, because I have friends... I mean, this whole alcohol conversation, I think everybody that I know is going through, like, similar things right now where they're, like, kind of figuring out what their relationship to alcohol is. Like, I feel like when you're young, you know, before 21 and you're breaking the law, and then right around 21, drinking is just, like, that's the vibe. Like, that's just, like, culture. It's just... drinking when you're young in your like early 20s, and as you start to age out of that and you have like, you know, other responsibilities and like access to other things, it kind of for some people fades away, and for some people I think it also gets stronger because they latch on to it as something like a comfort blanket almost,
like
of something that they understand and
youthfulness.
Know well, and also like, if you've been to 100 parties in your lifetime and 75 of them you drank and you had a great time, then you're like, okay, I guess I'll just keep drinking at every party.
Right.
Like, it works. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
And I think it is complicated for people, right? And it comes back to that, like, nuance, right? Like, you don't have to never drink again, but you also don't have to go, like, balls to the walls every time you drink, right? Like, there is a middle ground. You can have a drink if you're in a new situation and you want, like, a little bit of a social buffer, right? I think that's okay. Like, okay, right? Like, I think that's normal and expected. But if you need to get, like, absolutely, like, schmammered every time you're around people, like, I don't know if that's, like, necessarily healthy, right?
Right. Like, maybe let's reevaluate that situation.
Maybe try to figure out,
maybe get a therapist. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, another instance where therapy would be super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like on a flip side of that, I have noticed that I am trying to not peer pressure as much.
I think there's a time and a place for it.
Right? Yes. Okay, so I love to peer pressure people to try to convince them to, like, hang out with me. Okay. But I try to not do it with drinking anymore because I know that, like, everyone has different thoughts about it and, like, opinions.
Mm. Yeah, I think asking anything once is okay, right? Like, oh, like, have a drink with me or, like, whatever, right? Encouraging someone or inviting someone to do something. I think when it's, like, being really adamant and, like, pushy about things, right, especially, like, alcohol or food, we don't love that, right? Like, most of us are adults, right? Like, we can choose whether or not we want to drink. We can choose whether or not we want to eat. Like, all that stuff. We are very, like, autonomous human beings. And so we don't really need to, like, be encouraged. We know what we want, I think.
Yep.
Exactly. I mean, hopefully. Unless you're me and you never know what you want.
Or me. Unless you're an air sign, essentially.
Wrong crowd. Wrong crowd.
I always feel like if somebody tells me no twice, like, if I offer it to them twice and they say no, then I'm like, okay, yeah, they definitely don't want it. Like, I do not need to ask again. That is the situation.
Totally. Yep. Totally. And I think, like, you know, something I've talked about a lot with clients is, like, people often know that drinking is, like, it's something, it's a weird thing for people, right? Like, they know they, like, shouldn't do it, in air quotes, right?
Yeah.
And so they feel better if they're doing the thing they shouldn't be doing if other people are doing it with them, right? Like, if they're getting, like, super wasted, they want people to be doing that with them.
Well, and I think people feel that way about eating poorly, too. Right? Absolutely. People like,
we'll,
like,
share curly fries together.
Yeah, so it's like, right. It's like, wink, I'm not the only one drinking. I'm not the only one eating fried food, nachos. Right? Yeah. Like, we're doing this together, so it's fine.
Right. And I think, you know, that's tough, right? Like, drag everybody down with
really
you.
Hard.
Yeah. Yikes.
That's true.
Sometimes we want to, I don't know, it's, like, so complicated, because sometimes we want to be peer pressured into things, right? Like, we want to be pushed a little bit. I don't know, maybe that's a hot take. But sometimes we want to be pushed out of our comfort zone a little bit, and so there's, like, no right or wrong way to approach it, and, like, that's tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, Danielle, when you said that sometimes we want to be peer pressured, that just, like, brought a recovered memory to my mind that's, like, related but not related, which is when I remember very distinctly when I, like, went to college telling people about, like, when I would drink before I was in college, and people would be like, oh my god, I can't believe that you drank so young, and I'd be like, ugh, it was peer pressure. It was not. I fully asked for the beer. Like, I don't, I think I just wanted to be, like, in a teenage drama so bad that I was like, oh my god, I was peer pressured into it, but, like, nah, this bitch asked for it herself. Like,
right, right. Well, and also, if it wasn't your decision, people can't judge you.
Ooh. That's exactly, yep.
That's what it is. If it wasn't your decision to drink or to eat or to whatever, like, it makes you feel better because people can't judge you about doing it.
Only God can judge me.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Everybody judges me. It's fine.
Oh, my God. I think did we cover it all?
I feel like we did. I don't know. Wait, Danielle, is there anything that you feel like people, when it comes to friendship, that you feel like is the number one struggle or something that you, like, really wish people knew because it is, like, something that a lot of people are dealing with when it comes to health, diet, nutrition, all that good stuff that you tend to cover with clients but you feel like isn't really talked about enough?
Yeah, I think that, like, everybody struggles with food, right? Like, not everybody, most people. It's very rare to find someone who's like, I'm thriving with my relationship with food, like, stress eating. What's that? Right? And so I think, you know, a lot of people really struggle with their relationship with food. And, you know, as Jen kind of hinted to earlier, like, the more we talk about it, the less scary and intimidating and overwhelming it becomes. And so, you know, just, like, talk about it. Just, like, feel it out with your friends, right? Be like, hey, like, I'm struggling with this. Or, like, try to find a way to open up to them about it. Try to talk about it more, because the more you hold it inside, like, the bigger and scarier it gets, right? And, you know, there's a I talk a lot about self-talk with my clients, and, like, the meaner you are to yourself, like, the more vicious the cycle gets. And it doesn't have to be that way, right? Like, you can talk it out and, like, have a friend, you know, be like, yeah, that's hard. And, like, I feel that way too. I mean, don't monopolize the conversation by any means. Like, this shouldn't be all that you talk about. But, like, it's also okay to share these challenges through a different lens than, like, I'm fat, I'm going on a diet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the way that you talk about food around your friends, around your family matters as well. I mean, the number of clients I have that were, like, on Weight Watchers at, like, 8, 10, 12 is, like, wild. And they just, like, really struggle with their relationship with food because it was, like, bad from such a young age.
Yep.
Oof. Oh, my God. I feel that hard. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so real. And you're right. People don't talk enough about, like, just, like, what their relationship to food is, because it feels very taboo. But
it does feel taboo. And I can almost guarantee that anybody who, like, feels that conversation out with somebody, if they're a good friend and they care about you, like, they're going to support you. And they're probably also going to, like, start to share their insecurities about food. Yep. And I'm almost positive, unless your friend is one of the rare people that doesn't have any problems with food, they are probably going to be like, same, bro. And then you're going to have another thing to bond over and another thing to be vulnerable about, which we here at NFF
brings you closer together.
Love vulnerabilities and communication.
We love it.
And bonding over things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's give them something to talk about. Am I right?
I was going to say, do it over tacos. Jen, did you have one more question? There's one more question on the doc. Did you want
to... Oh, my God, yeah. My last question is, this is a very important question for me personally. Do you ever become friends with your clients?
No. Sorry, Jen.
Sad.
That's tough. That's tough for me to hear.
Rip in peace.
That's tough.
Listen,
that's
she's a professional, okay?
It's an ethical thing. I could lose my license, you know?
Okay. But what if when I'm not anymore?
But what about when Jen's
anymore?
Done? Yeah. What about when she's got a
if
great
we, like,
relationship with food?
Bump into each other at, like, the Natick Mall or maybe the Burlington. Well, you're moving to Austin, Texas.
I am moving to Austin, Texas. That's correct. That's correct. It's so tough for me because I just get so invested in everything that I do and everybody that I'm around. And I have to break out with my therapist, too, when I move to Austin because she's not legally, like, she can't therapize me. That's not a word. In
it
Texas.
Yeah, I think it's tough, right? It's, like, I have clients who I connect with, right? Like, you know, as therapists do, right? Like, I'm like, oh, like, I could be friends with this person if they weren't a client.
That's how you feel about me, right?
She cannot tell you, Jen.
It's possible.
Damn it.
But, like, the relationship is, unfortunately, very one-sided, right? Or, like, fortunately for you, right? Like, you pay me to talk to you.
Yeah, correct. I do. I do. And I don't tend to pay my friends.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
We generally don't recommend paying people to be your friends. I guess this is the podcast
flag
to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
okay,
no.
On the flip side,
okay,
have you ever had a friend ask you to be, like,
ooh,
like have your friends paid you to be their nutritionist?
So I started my business, like, November 2019, and then, like, pandemic hit, right?
Yes.
March of 2020, and I don't know if you know anything about starting a business, but it's, like, not easy. generally tough practice. So a lot of my clients starting out were people that I knew, right? Like, my old coworkers from my job were like so supportive and were like my clients and like love family that. Members and like people that I knew. So when I started out, it was a lot of that, but a lot of dietitians will be like, don't do that. Like, that's not going to be good.
How it's did that funny. Go for you?
It went good. I mean, like, okay. Yeah. A lot of them were supporting me to support me, not necessarily because they needed my services, which is tough because, like, again, I'm a touchy-feely person, so I'm like, how does that food make you feel? And they're like, good.
And I'm like, great, fine, fine, actually.
Okay. So that was the tricky part, is, like, they were so loving and so supportive, and I was like, oh, I feel so loved, but, like, you really don't need me. And it's like, but it's funny, like, my friends and family who, like, casually ask for advice, like, my mom, like, was going through, like, some GI issues at one point, and I'm like, oh, like, take a fiber supplement, and she's like, no, that's not gonna do that, and like, mom, like, this is literally, like, my job, like, I literally work in a hospital, like, helping people. Literally a professional helping people in the hospital.
You were like, there this at is what graduation. You need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And she was like, yeah, like, I don't think that's what I'm going to do. And I'm like, oh
okay. Oh, my God.
Wow, thanks, wow. Mom. That way must to have be confidence like a whole, in me.
That must be, like, a whole nother level of annoying when people don't take your advice. Because I get annoyed when people don't take my advice, but I am not qualified to actually give the advice that I'm giving. I'm just saying it.
I think it's, like, setting my expectations to be like, no, they're not going to listen to me. And also knowing that, like, when clients, friends, and family give them the same advice I do, they take my advice, not their friends and families, right? So it's like, you just don't take advice from people close to you.
Yeah.
I don't that's know why. Fair. We just don't.
That's so true, actually. That's really fair.
My mom always used to make fun of me because anytime she would give me advice, I would ignore her. But then if my friends ever gave me the same advice, I would take it. And she would just be like, oh, well, when Eric gives you advice, you take it. But when I give you advice, you don't want to hear it. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. Sorry.
Dude, I say that to Steven all the time. I will literally tell him something. And then, like, a week later, someone else will tell him exactly the same thing. And he'll be like, you know, I thought that was a really good idea. And I'm like, bitch, what? Are we kidding?
How dare you? Danielle, any other words of advice? Friend-wise.
Yeah. Okay, so whenever you go to an event, whenever you go to a party, like a family get-together or whatever, bring foods that you want to eat more of, right? So, like, fruits and veggies, bring a salad if you don't think there's going to be one there. So then you have that as an option, and you don't have to, like, put other people out to, like, make the food that you want to eat more of.
That is such a good idea.
That's brilliant. I will say I've done that before with cookies, but I will now practice this with healthy foods. Thank you for that advice, Danielle.
I bring a watermelon everywhere I go. So I
love it. Just constantly got a watermelon.
Just like a spoon and a watermelon.
Just always.
And my friends have actually gotten annoyed because, like, I literally am, like, at their house cutting up the watermelon in their kitchen.
And they're like, Jen, please leave. I don't even like watermelon anymore.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is mostly for me, but you guys can ask them if you want.
Oh, my God. That's really funny. But I love that advice. That's so smart.
It's great advice. It's really good advice. Well, Danielle, what do you have to plug? You've got some stuff.
What are your plugs that you want people to check you out on?
Okay, so I have a TikTok, as we've talked about a few times, at Eat Happier Dietitian. I've got a little following on there. And I talk about, like, all things.
I don't know if I would say little. It's kind of big.
It's weird, and I'm, like, uncomfortable talking about it. It's, like, weird to bring up in real life. At Eat Happier Dietitian, I talk about, like, realistic nutrition tips and, like, keeping it fun and light. And then love I have that. A podcast, too, which Jen has been on.
If you want to hear me get, like, real vulnerable about my food journey, go for it.
Who doesn't want to hear that?
I took a little hiatus from it, like, summertime, we wanted to just, like, enjoy, but I've recorded 2 episodes, so those will be coming out soon.
Yay!
And what's the name of the podcast, and where can people find it?
Eat Happy Podcast?
Yes.
Thanks, Jen. I don't know my own podcast, it's cool.
I have a lot of projects that I work on, and I, like,
fair.
I'm trying.
Fair. No, we understand. Don't worry.
Yes. Yes. It's a great podcast. Highly recommended. 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Great content. Thanks, Jen. Every week.
Check it out.
Yeah, I think that's me. That's my
plugs. And are you taking new clients? Like, if somebody was interested in you as their nutritionist, which I could not recommend more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we accepting
that? I am. I'm like, so I'm a workaholic. So I'm like, yeah, we can take more people. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I don't need to eat. Like, it's fine.
Danielle.
I know we don't have great work-life balance. We're working on it. But I am taking back
having your own business.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. But now I know the name of my podcast. So thing checked off.
So we're doing great.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Danielle. This was honestly such an amazing time. It was lovely getting to know you and hear all of your wonderful advice. Such sage advice. Truly.
Truly.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, pals listening in, if you want to find us on the internet, you can do that. It's at No Filter Friends with a Z on Instagram and Twitter, and at No Filter Friendship on TikTok, because we are also on TikTok. We have like 5 followers, but we have a TikTok.
We've got a very small amount compared to Danielle, but that's fine.
It's fine.
Follow us. And also, if you have questions about friendship, about how to talk to friends when you have uncomfortable conversations, such as diet or working out, any of the things that we discussed today, you can email us. We are at nofilterfriendship@gmail.com. Again, that is nofilterfriendship@gmail.com. We love your messages.
We literally
thrive off of them.
We really do.
So please email us immediately. Do it right now. And while you're doing that, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
Or follow us if you're on Spotify.
Beautiful.
And we'll see you guys. Thanks again, Danielle, for being here.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Danielle, for having me.
And we'll be back next week with another episode of No Filter Friendship. Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.